Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My apologies for being late. We started late, and then also I'll try to make it as quickly as I can. And then next week or the week after, we'll start our series on nikah. It'll be about 36 classes on marriage and divorce. So if it goes well in marriage, then we'll also talk about divorce, because as I said earlier, I believe these things should be taught in Muslim high school, you know. But unfortunately, you know, resources are limited, alhamdulillah. Also, our brothers from Bangladesh, want to congratulate them on, alhamdulillah, removing Sheikh Hasina, alhamdulillah. One of my best friend's grandfather was the head of Jamaat Islami. He was assassinated by her. He was in his 80s. Actually, he was executed. So, alhamdulillah, inna ma'al usri yusra. We hope that Bangladesh, which was the premier place to build ships for many years, and many great, great scholars, and arifin billah, came from Bangladesh, alhamdulillah. So we hope, like all that's going on, there's been this beautiful expression of effort in Bangladesh. May it inspire the rest of the Muslim world, alhamdulillah, to do better, inshallah. So Surah Ikhlas, you say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ صَمَدْ. If you're talking like co-workers, you're talking about non-Muslims, or maybe you have a non-Muslim partner, let's just be honest, man, it gets thick in these streets. Or friend, and they may ask you, like, what's God in Islam? Like, you really want to know Surah Ikhlas. Because if you can just explain an ahadiyya, like uniqueness, like, that's very important. I remember growing up in the church, and every church I would go to, God looked like the race of the congregants. So go to white church, freaking, I don't know, JT. You go to my friend's church in the city, it's Luther Vandross, you know. Go to Latino church, and it's always a guy, it's Ricky Martin, right? And so I remember as a young person, I was very young, saying that this is idolatry. Like, nobody feels weird that they're praying to a god that's their color? It's very odd, right? And so that was one of the things that really, when I went to the mosque for the first time, I was looking at the walls. And Dr. Riaz Sahib, Chacha, uncle, he said to me, like, yeah, we don't have paintings, man. And I said, why? He said, because God is not physical. And I was like, wow, like, that makes sense, right? And those of us who embraced Islam, obviously, in the early 90s, were deeply driven by Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, story, like Malcolm X's story, and central to that story is that experience, like how did he emancipate himself from the toxicity of racism in America? And it was through Tawheed. So I remember being really blown away by that. So that's something like, it's powerful when you talk with people. Samadiyya, what does a samad mean? The one who gives and needs nothing. Yuta'imu wa la yut'am. So that takes away the idea of like offerings. God needs my worship. Sometimes Muslims ask this question. I saw today a man on TikTok, he said he left Islam, and then he said, well, he has his own Islam. That's fine. We don't need to make fun of people, right? It's easy to hit someone when they're down. Why not build them back up? Like, try to take what's good in that and amplify that and help him come back. But as he was talking, one of the things that he mentioned was like, you got to do 5 this, 33 this, like God. It's like someone hasn't explained to him who Allah is. Because Allah doesn't need our worship. Everything that Allah has legislated is for our benefit. We are in need of that. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wa munkar wal baghi. Prayer keeps away from sin and evil and oppression. So my own family, you know, one time they were asking me, like, what's the offering you give to God? Because within Judaism and then Christianity, Jesus is kind of seen as this final offering for people's salvation. I used al-samad. I said, you know, one of God's ways God describes himself in the Quran is with this word that means the one who needs nothing and gives all. And my mom's like, that's God. I'm like, exactly. That is God, right? That is God. And I think when we teach religion, we do you a grave injustice that we teach you religion that would work 500 years ago. But we don't get in the trenches with you. And then you're held accountable sometimes by quote unquote imams and shuyukh and teachers, but if you're not equipped and given the vocabulary to function, then you'd be like Adam if he didn't have asma. How would he function without names? So we need also to hold educators accountable in a way that doesn't destroy them also, but recognizes the need for professional training. So As-Samad is the one who provides. And also that means, you know, the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the last hadith of Ibn Abd al-Barr, he said this, the last hadith the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that everybody is dependent on Allah, and the best of you are those who looked after those who are dependent on Him. That hits social policy, that touches on so many things, man. Dealing with political poverty, political economics, how we look after one another, how we should make sure people are taken care of. I mean, I remember Imam W.D. Muhammad in Chicago. He would go in his house and there were bags of groceries on his wall that his community had provided. And if you tried to talk with him, every 10 minutes someone's knocking on the door, Imam, can I get my bag of groceries? Like, that's the presence of the Imam in the neighborhood. When Imam Zayd al-Abidin, you know, the son of Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein, when he died, zakat requests went up in his village by like 10%. Because he has a benefit to the people. He's not living theology in the madrasa. He's not living theology in the masjid. He's living theology in the streets. So Al-Samad should think about that beyond, you know, there's that great scene in Shawshank Redemption, which reminds me of what happened when I went to the Azhar and even others. I love my time at Azhar, but also I had to un-Azhar myself. To a certain degree, with respect to what I learned there. And we would be foolish to think that a university in Egypt can answer all the world's problems. Or in Medina, or in Morocco, they may give us the skill set to function. Dr. Muhammad Imara told me, you'll be Azhari after Azhar. Like, you'll grow, you'll blossom after Azhar. But subhanAllah, that scene where the guy goes, he gets out and he goes and kills himself, and Morgan Freeman is talking to the guy, and he said, well, he was institutionalized in a way that he couldn't function outside, right? That's sort of what happens within community. We may be institutionalized in a way that we can't survive outside, but we need to be prepared. When I was in Oklahoma City and we started an Islamic school, the last year of our school, which was eighth grade, we would have those kids go to high school, public school. Why? To prepare them. So during their whole eighth grade, they're coming with like Spice Girls, you know, this is the late 90s, early 2000s, Spice Girls and, you know, whatever, all these questions, you know. But they were able to prepare for the transition into those spaces. We don't do a good job of that. So I want to challenge you. When you go home, Ahad, Samad, how do you apply that to the world around you? People asking questions. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. And notice something here in Arabic. What Jorjani, is a great book called Dalal Ijaz, mashallah. He said, Husnul Inqita' wa Husnul al Wasl, wal Fasl wal Wasl. Ibn Hajib said the most difficult thing in rhetoric, Arabic rhetoric, is this thing called Fasl and Wasl. Wasl is run on sentences. Arabic has run on sentences. Like Al Fatiha. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar Rahman, Ar Rahim, Maliki. It doesn't say wa. There's no wa. There's no conjunction. It's just a big run-on sentence. Arabs do that for a really cool reason. Same thing here. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. To show you that Allah is so great, it's like all of these qualities are one. All of them are one. الصابرين, الصادقين, القانتين. Why? Without wow, to show in all of those qualities, in being truthful, in being obedient, in being sincere, it's like they're one quality. Al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'min. You don't say wa, and. You just run the names of Allah together. Why? To say, within all the names that I know, Allah has mastered and perfected them like they're one name. That's the meaning. If the context, of course, you're trying to like destroy someone, I mean all these qualities they're so bad at, it's like they're one. So here, lam yalid wa lam yulad, we all know what this means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't born, nor has He give birth to anyone. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, and there is absolutely nothing like Him. Imam Abu Hassan, rahimahullah, he took certain qualities that we understand are the foundations of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from this chapter. Number one, Allah exists. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wahid, is one, ahad. But we know one means unique, as Razi mentioned. Something nice about that, subhanAllah. Al-Samad, that Allah doesn't need anything. Al-Ghina al-Mutlaq, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides everything and needs nothing. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Again, mukhalifatu lil-hawadithin. He's not like creation. Creation is not like him. And also the other quality that we took from this is that he has no beginning and no ending. Al-Samad. And also lam yulad. Laysa lahu bidayah. So what are the main qualities we took of Tawheed from this chapter, the foundational qualities? What we call sifat al-wujud wa sifat al-salbiyah. But I'm going to make it easy for you. Number one, existing, no beginning, no ending, opposition to creation. Creation's opposition to him. Absolutely in need of nothing and giving all. And one, la ilaha illallah. And those may seem like simple qualities, but the more you live and the more you unpack them, the more you'll appreciate them. Again, I'll mention them because they're crucial. Number one, wajib al-wujud subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, we say his existence is an obligation because without his existence, there's nothing. We can't even imagine creation. Like, everybody close their eyes, watch, it's going to freak you out. But everybody close their eyes and try to imagine a new creation, a new color, a new shape, a new thing that it's not called a thing. Something that's never been seen. You know why you can't do it? Because it's not in your heart drive to even imagine creating. You can't, you just can. My daughter's like, chocolate had a dragon. I was like, still chocolate, still a dragon, right? It's impossible for us. Matter is neither created nor destroyed. Yeah, absolutely, except for Al-Khaliq, Subhanah. Al-Wajib al-Wujud, Wajib al-Dhat. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, no beginning, no ending. Qidam al-baqa, al-awwal wal-akhir. The third, mukhalifatu lil-hawadithin. Everything else, Imam al-Razi, that's why I appreciate classic theologians, because they argue Islamic theology, not using the Bible. They argued the Christians using Islam. Because they were confident in Islam. So what's the first thing he says in Usul al-Khamsin? First thing he says, kullu shay'in hadis siwa Allah. Everything has a beginning and end except Allah. That's it. And this is at a micro and a macro level. So at a physical law level, like walking is a beginning and ending. That's why I say Jesus isn't God. There was a macro there. He was measured. He existed in a time, a space, a measurement. Allah is beyond that. فَكُلُّ مَا خُطِرُوا بِالْبَالِ فَعَلَى اللَّهِ مُحَالِ. Anything you can imagine is not Allah. So al-qidam al-baqa, no beginning, no ending. Mukhalifatul hawadithin, unlike anything, and everything is not like him, and that is in two areas, God partially or completely. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's nothing in completely like God. Partially, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like his likeness. So you see the domestication of transcendence within even slang. That's a God MC. Ain't no God MC. The guy's a God when he dunked on somebody. The guy's a God professor. No, it's just a person. We're very careful with our language. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. So, existing, no beginning, no ending, opposition, oneness, and complete, we can say autonomy. He doesn't need anything. Qa'im bi nafs. La ilaha illallah. Qa'im means exists bi nafs because of himself. With young children, I teach them theology. I say, what are your B's? Because B in Arabic means because of. Ba' sababiyah. So we say, ask them, what are your B's? I'm B because of my mama, I'm B because of my baba, I'm B because of oxygen, I'm B because of, you know, if you give a mouse a cookie, I'm B because of this. Allah is B because of Allah. لا يفتقر إلى أي شيء. Doesn't need anything. And that answers the question then you get in the middle school. Does he need my prayers? Does he need my fasting? قائم بنفس. لا إله إلا الله. The next two chapters, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, Abu Hasan al-Ash'ari, for those people who are going to have this question, we're going to do a session. We did it a few years ago on the spooky, remember Halloween? I don't know how many people here. We answered all the questions about jinns, demons. I showed you how to do ruqya, remember? So that way you stop calling me and call other people, call yourself. Because the best person to do that is you. So, I appreciate you explaining things, man. Thank you. And if you need me, don't be shy. I got you, all right? Appreciate you guys being here, man. These last two chapters of the Quran, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said that before this, the Prophet would read a lot of stuff related to possession or someone trying to put the spooky on him, right? But at the end of his life, just these two chapters. And this is an embodiment of how merciful the Prophet is. The Prophet who said, alayhi salam, if it wasn't that I was fearful for my people, I would command them to make miswak before the prayer. Like, can you imagine if that was fard? We'd all be waiting for everybody to brush their teeth. He's like, you know what? La ashuq ala ummati. Like, how many shuykh and imams? La ashuq ala ummati. Ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, if I didn't fear for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would do this. The Prophet who shortened his prayer when he heard children crying behind him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. As Dr. Mahmoud Abdurrahman Abdulmun'im said, and Sheikh al-Mawlud al-Suriri said, like, one of the beautiful things about the Sharia is that it really looks after the most vulnerable. But the unfortunate quality of the TikTok ox and the Twitter, you know, turbans and the Facebook fuqaha and the gram muftis, not grand, gram muftis, is that they inverted this. I'm not talking about scholars. I'm talking about people who shouldn't be doing this. They make things hard on people. So here, the end of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is something that bothers people. A lot of us, we have older people in our family. We know they're always worried about any creaks in the house, you know, TV turned on with no reason, you know, whatever, Tesla's lights are on outside. And they're like, oh my gosh, you know, there's a jinn in my house. Satan is in my house. And then people tell them, like, you should read this, drink this water, do this. Man, just read Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, imshi ala tul. That's all you need. Just do that. Read the last two chapters. And you can read it in any language. Do I have to read Arabic? No. Any language that you... The meaning, how it impacts you, is also important. So these two chapters is what he would stick to. Doesn't mean you can't do the other things. Somebody might feel this therapeutic. They may feel more safe. They may feel at ease. They may experience a sense of sakina, you know, tranquility. But that's what the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the end of his life, taysiran li ummatihi, to facilitate for his community. Surah Al-Falaq, there are different narrations as to why it was sent. The strong narration is that the Prophet was impacted by magic. Maybe somebody says, how could a prophet be impacted by magic? Well, we have a very important principle in theology. It says that prophets can experience any of the natural occurrences that people have as long as it doesn't compromise their abilities to be prophets. Marzuqi says, وَجَائِزٌ فِي حَقِّهِمْ مِنْ عَرَضِي. You know, like, it's possible that these things could impact them. بِغَيْرِ نَقْسٍ كَخَفِيفِ الْمَرَضِي in Aqidat al-Awam. Right? That the prophets can experience things like we do. I think that's very important. I don't necessarily relate to the prophet's piety. Like, I relate to the prophet's humanity. Because I'm not prophetic in that way. I wish I could be, right? But I appreciate when he had difficult days, right? Sometimes I find more connectivity to that. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that he commanded Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib to read these last two chapters, and then he was, alhamdulillah, he was emancipated or protected from this. It starts Qul. Last three chapters are called the three Qul. It's commendable to read them at night before you sleep. We know that. The Prophet used to do that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. قُلْ أَعُوذُ أَعُوذُ means to seek safety and protection. To seek shelter. With who? With Allah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّي. There's two different opinions about the ba here. Same thing as Surah An-Nas. That's why we can finish them relatively quickly. That number one is ba al-ma'iyyah. Now, I seek refuge with Allah, like Allah is with me, Allah has my back, alhamdulillah, Allah will protect me, I'm not alone. Wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. Allah is with you wherever you are by His knowledge. The other is sababiyyah, the cause, like I seek refuge by the cause of Allah. So I have hope that Allah will remove this difficulty from me. The other meaning is what's called ba isti'ana, from nasta'een. Just as I use a pen, I write B the pen, I seek refuge billah, subhanAllah, with the help of Allah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّي. Here it doesn't say Allah, it says Rabbi. Why? Because the name Allah, it can like, it's big, you know, like Allah. But Rabb, it brings about, that's why it's اقرأ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ or اقرأ بِسْمِ رَبِّكِ. اقرأ بسم ربك to the Prophet. The first verse that came, recite with the names of who? With Rabb, not Allah, because the Prophet is already terrified. لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. He's already scared. But when you hear the word Rabb, that's your caretaker, one who looks after you, one who cares for you, the one who looks after you, is there for you. So in this moment of like Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, person's already somewhat cathartic. So there's a usage in the language to calm them. You have a Rabb. You have someone that has your back. You have someone who supports you. لا تخاف لا تحزن. Don't be scared. Don't worry. You have Rabb. And your Rabb is the Rabb of the thing that you're worried about. So قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الفلق. The word falaq is of course translated as dawn, but the word falaq means to break. إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ Habbi wa nawa. In the sixth chapter of the Quran, Allah is the one who breaks the seeds. One of our teachers says something nice about this, because the Arabs, they used to be terrified of the night. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. I experienced this. My grandfather had a farm in Tonkawa, Oklahoma, and the bathroom was outside, man. I would hold it, man. At night, it could be like 8 o'clock, because they went to sleep early. That's it. If you have to use the restroom and you're like under 6, under 4, the ADHD is running, there's no Ritalin in you. You know, your mind's worried. You see demons and jinn and all kind of crazy stuff outside that bathroom. It's going to be a long night, bruh. I was terrified of the night. So the Arabs, they were worried. That's why when you go to like Bab al-Zuwayla and Qahira, right, those big walls around the old cities, because they used to shut the city down at night. In Medina, if you came late, you didn't get in because of robbers and crooks and criminals and animals. So قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Teacher said to us, and I think even Ashur also mentions this in his tafsir, the one that breaks things. Because just as he broke the darkness with the dawn, he's going to break you from whatever is worrying you. He can break you like that. فارق, between good and evil, the one who breaks it. Also, there's a great analogy here mentioned by Ibn Nahwi, that, you know, the dawn takes time. So whatever I'm going through, it's not beyond like the laws of the farm. Ibn Nahwi says in Al-Munfarija, you know, اشتدي أزمة تنفرجي قد آذن الليلك بالبلج وظلام الليل له سرج حتى يغشاه أبو سرج. It's very beautiful what he said. He's talking about trials and tests and difficulties. And he said, you know, the darkness of the night has bright stars, meaning in the moment that you're going through it, if you squint, you'll appreciate small blessings like stars. Like at night, if you get lost, one time I got lost in Norway, it's a long story, with those dogs, you know, long story. And then I was trying to see the northern lights, man, it's amazing, in Tromsø. And Akhir Dunya, it's the end of the world, man. And then I looked up, I saw the stars, I could tell which way to go. I was like, oh my God, stars are a blessing. Never thought about it before. He said, وَظَلَامُ اللَّيْلِ لَهُ سُرُجٌ. Like, if you're going through it, someone calls you, I hope you're okay. I talked to an imam yesterday, he's like, I'm done, I quit, I'm through. I can't handle people no more. And we're talking. He's like, oh, subhanAllah. I said, what? He said, I just saw a comment on Instagram that said, keep going, don't stop. I said, that's your star. Because the Arabs, they use stars to what? Navigate through the night. So small blessings will help you navigate too. Then he says, حَتَّى يَغْشَاهُ أَبُو سُرُجِ, until the sun shines. Here, the same thing as Surah Al-Falaq, what Ibn Nahwi is saying is, it might take time to get through the test. Just like it, you know, the night, you have to wait for the dawn to come. So also, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. This means it's going to happen immediately. Because sometimes failure teaches us how to accept success and locates in a place where we'll be mature enough to appreciate it and then pass it on to others. The process then becomes, in hindsight, a blessing, even though at the moment it was a disaster. So, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقٍ, from the evil you created. We believe Allah created good and evil. We talked about this a lot before in the Hikam. وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ, and through the evil of the night. وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, and here's the context, those women that were paid to blow on those knots and put a spell on the Prophet ﷺ. وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ, and the one that has envy. We know that envy is a problem. We ask Allah to protect us. I have a whole series. We'll do it right before Halloween here also. But if you go on my Instagram, it's somewhere. I go through all this stuff about envy. Everything you need to know. If you pay attention to this chapter, it's very interesting. It's talking about the inner sort of concerns related to like things you can't see. The next chapter, except when it talks about shaitan, also adds a layer of this protection that it addresses the, as we see, prime archetype of evil. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, say, I seek refuge in the Lord of human beings. We understand not all people are good. That's why we have to seek refuge in Allah from some of them. But notice how it doesn't call them like by bad names. It still affirms their humanity. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. Malik is the one we talked about in Surah Al-Fatiha, who has the sole power. تعرف المالك بمعرفة ملكه. You can learn who is Malik if you look at the world around you. It's all an evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Allah. مالك الناس إله الناس. إله is the one that's worshipped. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, the one that cherishes. The word Rabb has like five or six meanings. Cherisher, sustainer, creator, manufacturer, caregiver. Not the word Lord. I believe the word Lord was the outcome of people influenced by, it doesn't mean they're bad people, by whatever English language thing was popping at that time. You know, this Lord, that Lord, whatever. But Rabb is the one that gives you everything you need. And if anything falls, is there for you. An-nas are human beings who understand that our Lord is the Lord of human beings. We are an ummah also sent to human beings. That's why there is a strong opinion, you know, that when the Prophet said, and my ummah will divide into 73 sects, although this hadith is weak, it doesn't just mean us, it means everyone that came after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. It's one opinion. Because the ummah of the Prophet is not just the Muslims. It's the ummah of his risala. The people who will be around when his message is there. That means we have a responsibility to people. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Can you imagine if we cared about people's guidance as much as we cared about their politics? That makes Muslims mad. But if you guide your enemy, you ain't got nothing else to worry about. Look at Umar, radiallahu anhu. He becomes Muslim, things change. Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, no one could believe she embraced Islam. And they weren't from the Tulaqat. They became Muslim before this. But subhanAllah, when she became Muslim, it has an impact. She brings with her all her evil, suddenly became, she became like an ally to the community. We can't forget our main job. Our main job is to open the door to Allah. And I told you the story of that brother that became Muslim that was a heroin addict, and people at the masjid in Oklahoma. A lot of crazy stuff in Oklahoma, man. Country people are wild. And, you know, he would have this problem of heroin, which is still, we see today, people nodding off in certain neighborhoods. And the sheikh, people got mad. You know, how could this brother come to the masjid? You know, who gave him dawah? And I remember Sheikh Ahmed in DA from St. Louis, Senegal. He said, bring him to Allah, Allah will clean him up. That's not your business. Allah will clean him up. Let Allah clean him up. That's not our job. So, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. It's interesting, the chapter begins, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It ends, the Quran begins with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It ends with قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ مَالِكِ النَّاسِ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. You see something. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of humanity, the sole controller of all humanity, the only true object of worship of humanity. From what? Min sharril waswasil khannas. From the evil. Waswas means to come, is a whisper, but khan is the one that comes and goes. Khan, come and go. Because when you remember Allah, shaitan, he'll run away. When I forget to remember Allah, shaitan will show up. So from the evil of the one that whispers. Of course, it doesn't mean literally he's whispering. It's meant to highlight how subtle he is. And there are six goals shaitan has through his whispers we should remember as we finish. Number one, to make us disbelievers. Like, that's the primary goal. Like, if that can happen, فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكَ. That's his main goal. And how does he make people disbelievers? Ibn Qayyim has a great discussion. He said two ways. Number one, doubts. How many times when I first started here, sorry. I told you, if you say sorry, you have to buy me some Bitcoin. No, if you say sorry at NYU, if you say sorry, you have to give $5 to a nonprofit. And people were like, so, that's Chipotle, man. Right? College student. They got quiet quick. Then I said sorry once, and they made me, I had to pay $5 to ICNY. But why do we create that environment in our community? People should be able to ask questions. People, we don't need to create imams and teachers as some, like, you know, Gandalfian type of freaking thing that we can't even talk to. That's not good. Respect is where I trust someone enough to ask them questions. I told my daughter this, if you love me, ask me. Right? If I earned your trust, then any situation you need me, you can contact me. Just don't ask me for money. Right? But I'm saying, like, we get it twisted. When parents will come to me, or couples will come to me, I can't believe my spouse said this. I just can't believe they told me this thing they're struggling with. That's because they love you. Who are they going to go to for shelter in this moment? Are you? When parents come to me, you will not believe what my daughter said. She says she likes some guy. This is the most disrespectful thing that could have ever happened in my life. I tell them, no, this is the ultimate sign that you're a great parent. That they were able to go through all that cultural stuff, all this weird religious stuff, and go straight Khadija on it and tell you what they're interested in. And they're like, wow, you're right. Yeah. What happened to Sayyidah Khadija? Would you rather them be quiet and not tell you? And then you don't know what's going on? That people will find people to talk to. So here we, subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan will come to us with doubts. You should be able to ask questions. Snapchat imam was a purposeful strategy. Instagram Q&A, done on purpose. Because I have to do that. Allah will ask me. If you don't make yourself available to answer questions that you know, Allah will ask you. And to these non-Muslims, Dr. Jackson used to tell me, man, for us who became Muslim, we understand what, you know, what it means to be in certain locations and to give certain messages, whether urban, country, whatever, these people will hold us by our neck and say, this person never told me. I sat right next to them. Never modeled for me religion. Just lived like in my ratchetness with me. So the way to deal with doubts, to learn, to ask, to probe, to discuss, not to be quiet. The second is desires, because desires are the worst mufti. Desires will tell you everything is halal, man. Right? It will find any strange fatwa, any strange fatwa shopping, man. You know, it will push us. Or the other way, desires will lead us to a impractical, illogical conservatism that breaks our sense of feeling the warmth of religion. So the outcome of falling desires is irresponsible lackness or irrational hyper-strictness. Both are hawa. Shaltabi says something beautiful. And muwafaqat. Extremism just to be hard. Extremism also can be to be a heathen. Like there's this middle. Haqq. How do I overcome that? Think about death. Akthiru dhikra. Hadhimali that. Prophet said, think about death. I'm young. If you die tomorrow, you're old. The second thing that shaitan tries to get us to fall into are major sins. The third are minor sins. Difference, major sins are mentioned in the context of hell. Minor sins are rebuked without mentioning hell or any type of grievous punishment. The fourth, shaitan tries to get us to fall into the dislike. Dislike to makruh is permissible, but it's disliked. My teacher say makruh is the security system around your house. If you don't protect yourself, then shaitan has easier access to you. The fifth is that shaitan will make us choose the lesser of two goods. So you're doing good. I'm not falling into sin, but he doesn't stop. He doesn't give up. Khalas, so the lesser of two goods. So I could go to listen to Shuhayb, or there's like a protest for Palestine and Bangladesh and Kashmir. That's more important than listen to me. Like, why would you be here now? Why would I do that now? Unless you didn't know how to pray. You want to learn how to pray before so you can pray there. But awlawiyat, what's a priority? I remember in the Azhar, when I would have exams, I did not like inheritance. Inheritance law is a monster. And I'm horrible at math. I hate it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I had to like study Rahabiyya, you know, like a lot, man. And I remember while I was doing it, I had an exam, and Shaitan was like, man, you need to review Sha'bah. I would have waswas. Like, you need to go review this qira'ah. You forgot it. I'm like, 2 days ago, I didn't have this feeling. Why now? When I'm studying inheritance, suddenly I want to do qira'at. Because Shaitan wants you to do the lesser of what? Two goods. Like when we're like kids. Oh man, I got to put this on Instagram. I got to edit this. I got to put this video. And there's your child saying, spend time with me. Your presence is a gift. That's why it's called a present. Give me your presence. When we're with our parents, they're older. You know, make sure you spend time with them, man. Awlawiyat. What's important, shaitan will make us choose the lesser of two goods. I'm in a halaqa, listen, oh man, I just gotta see what's going on Facebook. I'm Gen X, Facebook is my thing, you know what I mean? So, oh, okay, I missed a whole halaqa. So having priorities, basira. The last is that shaitan will make us waste our time in the permissible, but we neglect what's important. Those are the strategies of shaitan. So he says, الَّذِي وَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. Doesn't mean like shaitan's up in your chest like, pss, 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 right? All this is metaphorical. It's just an idea of how shaitan inspires us. There's a lot of discussion about how that happens amongst ancient Muslim theologians and psychiatrists. And I think Sheikh Mack al-Smithi has a good book he did recently on this Al-Qalam Institute. مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. From jinn and human beings. We believe jinn exists because it's mentioned in the Quran. I don't know why Muslims know jinn exists, jinn don't exist. It's in the Quran. If it's in the Quran, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسْقَنَ مِنْ رَبِّي. We affirm it, and we'll talk about it, our section on the spooky before Halloween, alhamdulillah, talk about jinn. But jinn are from a word which means you can't see. That's why in you know, Pakistan, the group Junoon, right? It's an Arabic word, Junoon, tajanna, to be crazy, because when someone's in classical language, when someone had lost their mind, it was like their mind was covered. That's why it's called Jannah, because you can't see inside it. That's why the embryo is called what? Janin. May Allah bless the people of Janin. La hawla wa la quwwata billah. Because you can't see it. So jinn exists, but we can't see it. And so be careful of people say, last night I saw a jinn, or I have a sheikh who saw a jinn. Imam Shafi'i said, whoever man da'a annahu ra'a jinnan faqad abtara shahadata. Whoever said that they saw a jinn, like, we don't accept them as witnesses anymore in cases. Why? Because it's impossible. The only person who could see jinn are prophets. According to basically all normative theological schools within Sunni Islam. Min al-jinnati wa an-nas. It's interesting, the Quran ends with ins and jinn. Jinn and human beings. Because the verse in Surah Al-Dhariyat says what? وَمَا خَلَقُوا الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create jinn and men except to worship me. Jinn and human beings except to worship me. And the Quran ends with jinn and human beings to tell us, you guys, this is on you. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. Alhamdulillah, we had one brother, he brought, mashallah, some laddu. No, actually, it's baklava. But we would take some laddu, if you had it, alhamdulillah. But some sweet when we finish the tafsir, alhamdulillah, of Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us, inshallah. And to put khair at the end. Of course, we kind of rushed. If there's any questions, we'll take them. If not, we want to give people time to get home. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.